Speeder of Light. Harry, what? Oh, it's all attached. Okay, very good. Okay. And I'm going to give out new sheets right now. Okay, here we go. Let's try to cover some ground. Okay. So last week we covered the Shaq of Atarya of Daf Gimel and Maseches Gittin. We introduced the machlokes, the major and very important machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir regarding Eidei Mesir Karsi or Eidei Chasima Karsi. Very, very, again, important question, what I would call a Shas topic, that hopefully we will explore to some degree. I still have not, as I told you last week, I still have not decided fully how much we're going to explore it, but we're going to explore to some degree in order to understand the concept of a shtar. As much as shtaros, I think I said this last week as well, is not really traditionally a gittin mesechta, gittin sugya per se. It's more of a sugya from sex tubos. Obviously, if one is going to understand a get, one needs to understand the concept of shtaros. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through a classic piece from Chaim Brisker, from Chaim Soloveitchik, a very important piece. It's one of those pieces that you just need to know. You can't profess to be a Talmud Chacham in the modern world without knowledge of certain classic sources. And I would say that this Rav Chaim is certainly among them, is certainly one of them. And we will take a look at it together. Now, before we jump into the analysis of Rav Chaim, let's take a look at some of the background. The background pertains to this whole concept of a shtar. And the discourse is really rooted in a Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, which appears as a third source on the sheets that I just distributed, which in turn is based on two psukim. Let's look at the Gemara, and we'll use the Gemara as a springboard to analyze the psukim themselves. Amar Abzeira, ikashili ha-kashili. Abzeira says, as part of a broader Shach Matar, he says, this is what bothers me. The Sanya, we learned in a Braisa. Im lo yagid, prat le'ilim she'eno yachol lahagi. If he does not, thank you, Ari. Chaim. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, she'achol ne'evi barach. Thank you. Okay. So we have this pasuk in Lo Yagid. What is that pasuk? If you skip back for a moment to the first source, Benefesh Kisa Hata, Shama'a Kol Allah, who aid or Ra'a Uyada, in Lo Yagid Benasa Abana. Vayikra Perak Hay, the fifth chapter of Sefer Vayikra, is the parak that pertains to the Karban Asham. Karban Asham is one of the more elusive karbanos to define. It's a little bit, Chatas Ola. Shlomim, they seem to fit more intuitive definitions. Asham is a little bit more elusive, but an Asham is a karban that is brought on particular averos, as opposed to a chatas, which is generically brought on any isur kares that is done b'shogeg. And one of them is for someone who suppresses testimony. You suppress testimony, you're supposed to testify because you saw something. If im lo yagid binasa avano, you don't testify, you carry iniquity for it, you carry responsibility for it. And the Gemara says that's prat le'ilim. It's somebody who is unable to speak, somebody who's unable to deliver testimony is obviously, quite intuitively, not held responsible if they, quote unquote, suppress testimony because they're not actually suppressing it. They're just not able to deliver. Okay, that is how the Gemara in Gittin starts. Then we come to the critical line for us. First line of the third source, four words from the end, right before the question mark. Am I? Gemara asks, why is it the case that this Elam, this person who is nonverbal, they can't speak, why are they exempt from suppression of testimony? Now, again, the intuitive answer would be because the guy can't testify, cut him a break. But the Gemara comes up with a way he can potentially testify. How can he testify? Gemara says, Hayachol lahagid, second line, mitoch haksav. Let him, he can't speak. He's not an orator. He's nonverbal. Okay, fine. I get that. I understand. But let him record his account of the events, let him write everything down, and let him submit it to Bezdin. Let him testify mitoch haksav. So Amar le Abaye, third word of the second line, Abaye says to him, Eidos ka'amrit, you want him to write down testimony? Shiny Eidos. Eidos is different. Terachmana Amar, because the Torah says, mipihem velo mipi ksava. From their mouths, and not from the mouth, or not by their writings, not by their written testimony. What pasuk does mipiyam? So the pasuk is, as the Rambam will point out in a moment, is not a word in the Torah that actually says mipiyam, but it's a reference to Tvarim Perak Yizayin pasuk Vav, the second source over here. Al pi shenayim edim o shlosha edim yumas ames lo yumas al pi eid echad. I think a pasuk that is widely familiar. pasuk that says that when we're dealing with dina nefashos, when you want to punish somebody, it needs to be punished al pi by the mouth of shnayim edim. Now, of course, on a pshuto shel mikra level, you'd say that just means by two edim to eliminate one edim. You can't punish somebody through just the edos, the testimony of a single witness. You need shnayim edim. But the Gemara darshins al pi mi pihem below mi pi ksavam, that it needs to be by their mouth directly, and they cannot write. Okay, fine. That is the Gemara in Gittin. Testimony needs to be delivered in Beis Din verbally. It cannot be written through ksav, through writing down. Now, what, of course, is going to be the problem with this? One word. Shtar, what do you mean? You're telling me that you can't deliver a testimony in writing? We have a major concept in halacha. It permeates all of Shas, called a shtar. We're all familiar with it, not just on a theoretical level. When we learn Gemara, we see it all the time when, for example, we go to a wedding and you sign a ksuba. There's all sorts of testimony that can be offered in theory, in writing, in the form of a shtar. And the major question that animates the Rishonim is what distinguishes this Eidos Bechsav that is rejected by the Gemara and Gittin, this written testimony that does not qualify, from shtar, which does work. What makes something into a shtar? Now, this is, again, a major global discussion. Maybe we'll get into some of it, maybe not. We would only devote a maximum of one shir to it. Tonight, we're going to see again the Chaim. But if you want to go into the broader discussion, you have a whole discussion in Yitzhak Zivamos on Daf Tes and Daf Arif, where you get the Rif and the Balam Or and the Ramban. They all get into the fray of what the difference is. There's a very important Tosfos and Ksubos and Daf Chaf, a very long Tosfos, but a very important Tosfos that talks about what exactly constitutes a shtar. That's a major part of this whole discussion is what is shtar. But tonight, we will just take a look at two polar opposite views in the Rishonim. The views in the Rishonim that are furthest apart, we will take a look at tonight. The first is Rabbeinu Tam, that is in the fourth source here, Tosis of Baba Basra Daf Mem Amud Aleph. Of course, if you're dealing with a tension between shtar on the one hand, and this principle, Mipiyem Velo Mipi Ksavam, this requirement for verbal testimony on the other, if they run up against each other, then the polar opposite extremes, usually when you have a conflict, right, is either to compromise one in favor of A, to compromise A in favor of B, or to compromise B in favor of A. And we'll see that Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam both do that, just on opposite ends of the spectrum. Take a look at Rabbeinu Tam. The context here, Baba Basra Daf Mem is talking about Chazakos, it's part of Perakas Sabatim. So again, this is the middle of a Tosos, a whole long discussion about this issue. But the important line for us is the line that appears here. But Od Omer Ri, Ri reports, Shashama min Rabbeinu Tam, that he heard from his uncle Rabbeinu Tam, Shanoagim l'shloach ha'edim edusam be'igeres l'beistin, v'choshev edus. You know what Rabbeinu Tam says? It's perfectly fine. You have testimony, it's going to be hard for you to travel all the way to Beis Din. I'll tell you what to do. Write it down, put some postage on it, send the letter to the Beis Din. And that's perfectly fine. That constitutes Eidos. What's the question going to be, of course? We just saw Gemara and Gittin. This is Pim Lomi Piksavam. So Rabbeinu Tam says, V'had darshinon v'sifrei mipihem v'lomi piksavam. That which Chazal darshin, mipihem v'lomi piksavam, that Eidos needs to be verbal, it needs to be delivered and articulated rather than written down. That which we just saw in the Gemara and Gittin, Davayin Aleph. Lo asa el lemute davka ilim she'eno bar agadah. It only comes to exclude someone who is nonverbal, who is not capable of delivering the verbal testimony in Beis Din. But if you can testify, if you can offer verbal testimony, you need not actually do so. Let's just unpack this line of Rabbeinu Tam here. First, what is his general shita? What he is saying is this restriction on written testimony is only for people who cannot possibly offer verbal testimony. In other words, it is restricted to people who can't speak, to those nonverbal people who aren't able to deliver verbal testimony in Beis Din. If you can offer verbal testimony in Beis Din, then you need not actually do so. It's sufficient that you have the ability to do so, and then you can write it down. Why would that be the case? So he implicitly invokes a general principle that we find in many areas of Shas. What is the principle called? Kol haroi labila, ein bila ma'akevespo. If you look at the last lines of this Tosfos, Ra'i lehagada ein hagada me'akevespo. We have a principle of Ra'i lebila ein bila me'akevespo, that the original principle is actually from the world of Menachos, from the world of Kachim. And if you have enough flour for bila, then it doesn't have to actually it's originally from the world of Kachin. And the general principle is, if you can do something, you need not always do it actually. As long as the potential for it to be there is present, then that's okay. And you don't need to actually do it. The original context is the mound that you would form when you were bringing a carbon minifa. So as long as you have enough material there, you don't need to actually shape it in the form that it would ideally be shaped. So how do we understand that principle of kolaroi labila? Again, another great question and another Shas question. But Rabbeinu Tam is effectively invoking it here and saying that if you're capable of speaking in Beis Din, then you need not actually speak in Beis Din, you can actually write in as well. I will also note that if you look back to the source in Maseches Gittin, remember that the whole drusha that motivated Mipiyim Lo Mipi Ksavim was a question from Rabbi Zeira. And what was the question about? The question was about an Elaim. The question was, somebody who's nonverbal, Rabbi Zeira says, why is he not responsible for suppressing his testimony? He could testify through writing. He could write into court. And what does the Gemara say? No, he can't write into court because Abaye says, BPM below me P ksavim. So if you really just read the Gemara narrowly, it's a plausible read of the Gemara. Of course, it is Rabbeinu Tam, but I'm saying you don't even need to stretch here. It's not like in Ukimta where he adds a new factor in the Gemara. The Gemara itself is discussing an Elaim. It says Rabbeinu Tam, The drasha of Mipiyim Lo Mipi Ksavim was limited to the narrow case that's actually being discussed in the Gemara, but anybody else can send written testimony. So in this war, in this battle between Shtar and Mipiyim Lo Mipi Ksavim, Rabbeinu Tam is really championing Shtar. And he's saying Mipiyim Lo Mipi Ksavim is really limited to very confined circumstances. It's confined to someone who never, Chachon al-Aslan, is nonverbal, can't offer verbal testimony. He can't offer testimony in writing, but the average person is allowed to offer testimony in writing. And of course, that will explain how we could have shtaros. Now, again, it appears that Rabbeinu Tam would maintain that somebody who is an Elaim cannot be a witness on a shtar. It would seem to emerge that you can't call them up to be your Edik Suba, because if they are non-verbal and they can't even in theory offer their verbal testimony in Beis Din, then BPM 7 would apply. But he's certainly very significantly confining this principle, Mipiyim Lo Mipi Ksavim, in favor of a general approach that allows for shtaros. Now, clarity on Rabbeinu Tam? Yes, generally? Okay. So then we come to Shitas HaRambam, which takes the opposite standpoint. Here we come to the Rambam in Eidus Perek Gimel Achadala. Says the Rambam, Din Torah, She'ein Makabal in Eidus, Lo B'dinei Mamonis, Lo B'dinei Nefashos, Ela Mipi Ha'inim. Really, on a de'oraisa level, we cannot accept testimony, not in matters of dinei mamonos, monetary matters, not in dinei nefashos, matters pertaining to capital punishment, corporal punishment, and the like. LMEP ha'edim, only from the direct testimony from the mouths of the edim. I will note parenthetically that the inclusion of dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos, in fact, the Rambam needs to specify that both dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos are included, might be significant as well. We do find other chilukim in the Rishonim. The Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam. We saw the Riz quotation of Rabbeinu Tam. The Mordechai quotes Rabbeinu Tam as distinguishing between Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamonos. Written testimony is allowed, in Dinei Mamonos, but not in Dinei Nefashos. Why would that be the case? Again, sorry? The Pasuk is talking about Dinei Nefashos. Okay, fair enough. Is the narrow context of Dinei Nefashos. I think it also speaks to some of the broader conceptual differences between Dinei Nefashos and Dinei Mamonos. We find other differences as well. We have a day in the Tanaim that only applies by Nefashos and not by Mamonos. That's a day in the Tanaim at the beginning of Maseches Makos. There could be difference between Eidus Miuchedas, between Mamonos and Nefashos.
So there's Derishon of Akira.
I'm sorry?
There's Jerusha Bachakira by Dinei Mamonos.
Is there no Jerusha Bachakira by Dinei Mamonos? There's certainly the formal Jerusha Bachakira is by Dinei Nefashos, that's true. Right, to that, right, when we take it to the very extreme degree described by, also by the Mishnah, beginning of Makos. So yeah, I'm not sure that is narrowly related to this point. Again, we won't get into the whole Mamonos and Nefashos discussion now. But I'll just note parenthetically that the Rambam, including both Mamonos and Nefashos, is significant. Other Rishonim do not appear to agree to that. And the difference between them could speak to much broader differences between Mamonos and Nefashos as far as Eidos is concerned. But fine. Rambam says, Midoraisa, it always needs to be Mipi Edim. According to the Pasuk, Shnemar Apishnaim Edim, that because the Torah says in Tvarim Perak Yitzayim Pasuk Vav, as we saw earlier, Apishnaim Edim, and he quotes the Drasha as well, Mipihem, second line, Velo Miksav Yadon, needs to be from their mouths and not from their written hand. But then, and then the Rambam throws in the bombshell line that appears in bold. Aval Midivre Sofrim. But Midivrei Sofrim. What does Divrei Sofrim mean in the Rambam? It's one of the most cryptic, ambiguous, and loaded terms in the Rambam. Very often it means Derabanan. Does it always mean Derabanan? No. The Rambam himself says it doesn't always mean Derabanan. The most famous instance where the Rambam says it does not mean Derabanan is Kiddusha Kesef. This is the Kiddushin that we all use. Kiddusha Kesef, the form of Kiddushin, form of marriage that is effectuated through some kind of monetary transfer, in our case, a ring. The Rambam says Midivrei Sofrim. He's challenged by the Chachmei Lunil. How can he write that it's only Midrabanan? And the Rambam says, no, I didn't mean it's Midrabanan. Why does he use the term Divrei Sofrim? Again, a very, very loaded and broad question that we're not going to entirely address right now. But the Rambam here says, he contrasts Din Torah. He says, Din Torah, you don't accept testimony on Mamunas and Nefashos unless it's from the Edom themselves. Aval Midivrei Sofrim, Shechoschen Dine Mamunas Be'edo Shebeshtar. Midivrei Sofrim, Mamunas can be done through Edo Shebeshtar. Aval Pisha Ein Ha'edim Kayamim, even though the Edom are not present before us in Beis Din, Kadesh Lo Tinol Delas Bifnei Lovin. Tinol Delas Bifnei Lovin is a phrase that we find in Chazal, where Chazal instituted certain practices so that we could have a functioning economy. Again, I'd say probably one of the most well-known instances of Kadesh Lo Tinol Delas Bifnei Lovin is Prisbol, right? Exactly. So Hillel HaZaken saw that people weren't lending to each other because of Shemitah, so he instituted a Prisbol. And we have lots of other things that are intended to ensure a successful and functioning economy. And the implication from the Rambam is, that shtaros only work with the Rabbanan. It is all an institution of the rabbis. The Ramban in the Shurashim to Sefer HaMitzvos and Shurash Beis is totally horrified by this. And he brings many psukim. We're not going to go through the Ramban now because I want to turn to the Rav Chaim. But the Ramban brings many psukim that prove that Sharos must be Midoraisa. And his biggest proof, his most simple proof, is Get and Shtar Kiddush. You can effectuate a marriage through a Shtar. You can end the marriage through a Shtar. And he proves that by definition, that can't be. Sorry? Does he talk about Shtar Shechur? I don't recall offhand if he talks about Shtar Shechur. Shtar Shechur, bear in mind, is not as explicit in the Torah as Get, at least, right? So I don't recall. I'd have to look back. But he also uses it to just prove a very basic point, and that Shtaros can't be Midrabanan for many of the same reasons that people object to Kiddusha Kesef Midrabanan. He says, let's say a man marries a woman through a Ishtar, one of the three acceptable methods of Kiddushin, is outlined by the very first Mishnah of Sex Kiddushin. Now, witnesses come forward and say she engaged in a marital affair, right? So, what would Beis Din do if the testimony was accepted and they did the proper Drishma Hakira and it turns out they were telling the truth? They put this woman to death for violating Kilei Arayos. But, says the Ramban, her whole marriage was only Midrabanan. It was only Midrabanan because it was effectuated through a shtar. So he says you can't claim that's actually Midrabanan. That's actually, again, a major theme of the first two Shoresh, and particularly the second Shoresh, is the Ramban and the Rambam debating the ramifications of Deoraisa and Derabanan. Very, very briefly, because it relates to the Divrei Sofrim issue also, the Ramban's second Shoresh states that anything learned from the Yud Gimel Mido Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem, anything learned through the 13 hermeneutical principles that we say every morning in Rabbi Yishmael, should not be included as a mitzvah Deoraisa. Or should not be included in the 613. The Ramban takes that to mean that anything learned out through the Yud Gimel Midos is Midrabanan. And did the Rambam mean that it's Midrabanan? Most of the Nosei Kelim who defend the Rambam say the Rambam never meant that it's Midrabanan. He meant that it's not counted in the formal list of 613. That doesn't mean that it's Midrabanan. It's still be Midoraisa, even if it doesn't make that formal list of Tayag Mitzvahs. That's how most defend the Rambam. But that's largely what the Ramban is responding to in terms of what constitutes Midoraisa or Midrabanan. So how do we answer for Shtaros being Mide Rabbanon according to Rambam? Here's where the analysis of Rabbanim comes in. Let's turn to the second page of these very, very large circuits that I've written here. We'll get through as much of this as we can in the remaining 8 minutes. We have to skip to some of the highlights. I will skip to some of the highlights. I don't see my underline that have come through in the copy, but okay. What sefer are we looking at right now? We're taking a look together at our first Kedusha Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi al Rambam. Rez Hashem, our first, certainly not our last. Please God, our first of many. Kedusha Rabbeinu Chaim HaLevi al Rambam is a sefer that was sort of, and I'll explain what I mean by sort of in a minute, sort of written by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, also known as Rav Chaim Brisker. Chaim Brisker was one of the most revolutionary figures in Torah learning, really, I'd say, in history, but certainly in the last several hundred years. Every now and then, a figure comes along who's not just a great gadol, totally revolutionizes the way we approach Torah learning, and Rav Chaim absolutely did that in his day, in his time. Similar to the way, let's say, Rabbeinu Tam totally revolutionized Torah learning in the ways of the Rishonim, Rav Chaim really revolutionized Torah learning today. There were other methods of learning that preceded him, but are virtually not used at all today. You know, the world of Torah learning post-Rav Chaim is forever different than it was pre-Rav Chaim. He introduced what's called the Brisker Derech, which is, of course, we're not getting into the nuances of what the Brisker Derech is and what the changes were. It's a more conceptual approach to Torah learning. He raised the next generation of Gedolim on that method. Many of the Gedolim of Europe that followed Rav Chaim, Rav Chanan Wasserman, Rav Isser Salman Meltzer, Rav Shimon Shkop, Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, many of the great Gedolim of Europe were Talmidim of Rav Chaim. I say he sort of wrote the Sefer because he had an aversion to publishing. The Sefer itself was not a Sefer that he wrote on the Rambam and then published. He wrote individual essays on different passages in the Rambam, and his sons, I'm pretty sure it was published posthumously, his sons, after he died, took those writings and they put them together in a Sefer. And this is really the only Sefer that we have from his writings. He's quoted all the time. And there's another thing they call the Rav Chaim and Stencil. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Rav Chaim and Stencil. Those are notes that were taken on his shiurim. It was not penned by him himself. They were notes that were taken by various Talmidim, and they put them out as a Sefer. And certainly, again, if you ever read any of his students, the Brisker Rav, you know, his son, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his sons, if you ever read Rav Baruch Berlebevich, I mentioned before, they all quote Rav Chaim, you know, with the highest reverence, there's fun him, but this is the one Sefer that we have from him. There are a number of landmark passages in this Sefer that are really, again, just critical Torah sources. One of them is the passage that we're about to read. It extends for several pages. Let's at least try to see the beginning of it. Eidos Parakim HaLacha Dalet, starting from Hilchos Eidos. He begins by quoting the Rambam. Din Torah She'ein Makablan Eidos Lo B'dine Mominus Lo B'dine Nefashos Elam Yipia Eidim. And when it comes to Dine Nefashos, Dine Mominus, you could only accept testimony from witnesses themselves. Shneemar Al Pi Shnayim Eidim, because the Torah says Al Pi Shnayim Eidim Mipihem V'lo Miksav Yadon. It needs to be from their mouths and not from written testimony. Aval Midivrei Sofrim Shachoskan Dine Mominus V'Eidos Shabashtar Kan Lashonu. Exactly the Rambam that we saw, that Midra Abanan, you could have a shtar for Dine Mominus. Haramban, the Sefer of Mr. Shorish Beis, Hikshala of Zelashono. Mansha Anu Dan and Begitin, Ede Hasima Bavad, Isha Hamotzia Lefanin, who get Hosom, Kaiman Osava Hosama, Matirno Salim. Now say I'll be Ede Shashar, Zel de Berakol, Kalashono, that's the passage that we didn't read inside in the Ramban itself. But the Ramban says, when you claim this, only the Rabbanon, we allow an Ashes Ish to remarry on the basis of witnesses that are signed in Ashtar, what we would call, in our parlance, Ede Hasima. Ede Hasima are sufficient to allow her to remarry. How can you say it's Bidra Abban? Says Rav Chaim, "Pine koshes haRamban al Rambam nechlekas l'shnayim." Really, the Ramban's challenge to the Rambam can be broken down into two parts. Chada, number one, "Teheicha din beimgiresh okidish b'shtar sheyesh lov edim shapir dami." How can we approve of this din that divorce, gerushin, or kiddushin, marriage through a shtar works? Akaim l'onda hamagarish omakadish below edim lav plumhu. He says, "We have general principle that you require edim in order for a get or a kiddushin to actually be effective. What is this form of eidos where you need the eidos to work? What we call eidos l'kiyam hadavar, or eide kiyam. Where if you have a marriage, a man does everything right. He goes over to a woman, takes the ring, says harei at, puts it on her finger, but there are no witnesses present. It's not just that we can't prove the marriage. The marriage is no good. The first question is, how can witnesses who are just signed on the get, who aren't actually there, serve as the eide kiyam necessary for the get to work? According to the Rambam, who holds that this is not testimony at all on a Deoraisa level, why is it sufficient to make it a Kiddushin or a Gerushin? Now, this is, again, an interesting question pertaining to the nature of Eidus Tukim Adavar. And we're not going to, again, another topic we're not going to do now, but Hashem will learn Masechus Kiddushin together at some point. And the question of what the nature of Eidus Tukim Adavar is also a very rich and hotly debated question in the Rishonim, in the Rashba, and the Ritva, and others. But his first question is, how can anybody who's just signed on a shtar constitute Eidus Tukim Adavar? B'imki b'zep pligi, reish mem v'reish aleph. What does that stand for? Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Elazar. Which Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Elazar? Our Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Elazar, right? Pligi Rabbi Meir for Rabbi Elazar. Yede chasim akarsi u'edem sir akarsi. Akadi kosh l'ramam. Eich mahani yede chasim ha'evem mipiks avam. He says, okay, you want to tell me that it's a machlokes tanoim? Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Meir, do the yede chasim work? He says, it doesn't, whatever you want to tell me about the tanoim, the Rambam paskins that, it's all midrabban. Once you tell me it's all midrabbanan, don't start handling with me about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Don't start telling me, oh, some hold Eidei Chasima works. It shouldn't work because it's Eidei midrabbanan. Uviyoser kosha ala Rambam ba'atzmo, shepasak b'perak aleph mechos gerish and alachatez zayin. It's even worse for the Rambam who paskins. Kosmu bo shnayim, v'avar v'nasno la'beino la'veina, hareza kosher. Ha'wil ve'edim shabo k'shirin. This is the Rambam paskins. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer. We'll explore this more in the future. But the Rambam is that you don't have Edom on the Mesira. If you don't have Edom that witnessed the Mesira, the witnesses that are signed are sufficient as well. He passes that Edei Chasima work. Now again, does that mean he's passing like Rabbi Meir, Edei Chasima work? Or is that Rabbi Eliezer, who holds Edom Mesira, even he agrees that Edei Chasima can work. It's just not ideal. So again, we're not going to get into that now. But the Rambam passes that Edei Chasima work, even as he passes that it's only Midrabbanan. Sufficient for her to produce the get, and that works. The first question is, how do they work for Eidos Lakiyum Hadava? The Od Kasha Ala Rambam, and his second question on the Ramban's second question on the Rambam is, the Amai Samchin on the Isha Hamotzia Get Lafaninu. Forget about the Eidos Lakiyum Adavar. There's also what we call, what's the alternative to Eidei Kiyum? What we call Eidei Biru or Eidei Raya, right? It's a proof. As soon as she releases the get from her hands, that's considered a proof that she was actually divorced. Do we have witnesses in Beis Din telling us we witnessed this woman's divorce? No, all we have are two signatures on a get. And somehow that is sufficient as well. V'somchin al zeh, this is four lines up in the second paragraph, the som canal zeh al yedei edei chasima shabeget. We rely on these edei chasima to say that she is indeed divorced. She wants to bring proof that she's divorced. She wants to bring proof that she can remarry after she was an eish esish. Of course, you're going to need testimony that works on a deoraisa level. Another one of our blasts from the past. Another one of our favorite lines from earlier in Maseches Gittin, we said, "Ein davar she'be'erva pachus mishnayim," that when you're dealing with an erva matter, you need two witnesses. The edos zu psulo midevrei Torah. This edos does not work on a Torah level. Shem dehevim mipiksavam leharambam, because it is mipiksavam, it should not work. Now, Reb Chaim offers an answer. I don't think we're going to get to the answer inside today. Perhaps we'll see some of it. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this going forward. Perhaps we'll see some of it inside next week. But in short, I will just preface for what Reb Chaim is going to say. Reb Chaim argues that there are two very fundamentally different types of shtaros. The common shtar that we deal with is what we call a shtar raya. Shtar raya is a shtar that testifies that something happened. He says that is where the Rambam says that something is only midrabbanan. But we have another shtar called a shtar kinyan. A shtar which is not only there to testify that something happened, but to effect a halachic result. A woman is not married through a shtar kiddushin, she is married. A woman was married through a shtar get, a shtar gerushin, a sefer krisos, a get, she is not married. And it can happen in the context of monetary transactions as well. One of the modes of acquisition is shtar. One of the modes of acquisition for property is a shtar. It's not just there to testify that something happened, it's there to actually create its own halachic realities. And says Reb Chaim, when a shtar is there to create its own halachic realities, then perhaps even the Rambam would agree that it's midoraisa, Ezra, and we'll explore this further next week. Shkaya Shabbos.